Yes, look, that's it. That's it. How it is produced? You make 7 dehydrocholesterol, and this you expose to ultraviolet light. That's it. You expose the substance to ultraviolet light. And when you do not that, then it will not work. I studied all the literature, how it has been detected and all the things. I studied Windaus and Budenand and so on. And I was a disciple of Budenand, and so I know all this. And that is how it works. You make the substance, you expose it to the light, and then it is active. Without radiation, it's inactive. And the same happens in the body. You have cholesterol, you make a dehydration of the cholesterol, and that happens in the liver, then it goes in the skin, it is exposed to the sun, and by this it is activated. To speak in case you are interested in it, what happens chemically? That is so fascinating that when you have the right idea, you can follow it until to the deepest materialistic systems. You can follow it, and then you can understand it, what happens. What happens by the radiation? What makes the shape that makes a certain limitation of life, a certain breaking down? And what happens with the substance, just by the way, because there was a question, I will not lose the same. You have, that is the steran, as we call it, steran. You know that. And here, this bond is broken. That is the B ring, and this is broken. And that makes the activation. And when it is not broken, there's no activity. Then it works on another level, of course. All the sexual hormones are from this type. But this opening happens by the light. So, what is indeed the so-called vitamin? It is not a vitamin, you should know that. But what is it? As the pediatrician in the German who introduced it in this time, 36, he said, that is fenced in sunlight. Of course, it is not quite right. But indeed, a certain part is right of it. It is light. It's ultraviolet light. And that is why it works. Because this substance is radiated, and without radiation you have no activity of the substance. So it is again the light, and it is the ultraviolet light which makes the shape. And what is the decisive of the child with rickets? You don't see them anymore, but when you see it, they have not the right shape. It's a matter of the gestalt, of the shape, of the formative forces. They are lacking. And you can add them by light. And every child needs light for formative forces, not only for life. So, and that is the reason why you can kill bacteria by ultraviolet light. Because that does not give life. It gives formative forces. And that is the ultraviolet light. And on the other side of the spectrum, you have the red light. And now, when you have this concept we did speak about here in the last 7 years, every time this concept of the polarity, and you know what it means, the polarity. When you have the one side, and you know it is a polarity, then you have on the other side the same, just opposite. So, the formative forces, which work more over the head, over the nervous system, there work the formative forces. We come back to this point, and when we are in the embryology, we will see that how they work over the head, over the nervous system. And that is why just the ultraviolet stimulates the nervous system. And when you stimulate it and it is not just fit to accept it, then you get an encephalitis by ultraviolet light. And many, many children had an encephalitis. I did treat them. Handicapped, mentally handicapped children, I did treat. They only in quotation marks, were treated by ultraviolet light, because a couple of years ago it was everybody had ultraviolet light and they did expose themselves because it is so healthy and it is so natural and it is so, and so on and so on. Finally, the children had an encephalitis. That was a consequence, because it works like that. Formative forces. Now, and when you have now the red light, you have the opposite. That does not work on the nervous system. Hollwig, my friend, Germany, which I quoted, you can have the book this afternoon, I will quote you exact the title of this book. He found out, just as, let me finish my sentence. He found out when he exposed animals, different types of animals, he exposed them to infrared light. That does not influence the nervous system. No. What is the opposite of the nervous system? The metabolic system. And the most opposite of the nervous system are the genital organs. So he did expose them to the red light, and the ovaries and the testicles, they grew by red light. It was fascinating what he did detect. When I said to him, oh, I think in former time the people had this experience, I said to him, why did they just in certain locations have a red light and not a blue light? Yeah. I think they did not want to stimulate the nervous system. Look, that's a very old experience, but the people don't look at it. Finally, it has been done by an experiment. Ah, now they know it, but they don't understand it. Yeah, that is the thing. You think, you see, in the light you have everything. You have the ultraviolet, you have the infrared, and they make different types of life. Of course, again, I use the expression, the light makes this and that. The light makes nothing. The light is a bearer of forces. And the forces which are working through the light, they are the decisive. That we have to realize. And that is just the instrument, the light. It comes from the sun, but it is influenced. And I say that for just the people who are more familiar with this, who were attending all this, what we did elaborate when we spoke on the metals and the planets, just for them, the other may be shocked. I can't help. The reality is full of shocks. So this type of this life, the red side of the spectrum, that is more influenced, the light is more influenced by the planets like Moon, Mercury, and Venus. That belongs to this side of the spectrum. And the other side, which is more the formative side, that is more influenced by the other three metals, or planets, which is the same, by Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars. They belong to the formative side. And the other three, they belong to the growing side. Now, that is important for the therapy, what we want to influence. And this we can do, of course. But is that not our topic, but just for understanding it. And they are working over the light. They influence, they give the type of light which is working. And this we can handle when we understand it, how they are working. just as a base that you see to speak of life. Okay, we can speak of life. But when we want indeed understand it, we must go into the details. Then we can understand it exactly. And not what I made as an experience only to speak of energy. Oh, that's so poor. And that's why everybody speaks of energy. So give them energy, give him love, give him energy. That's just wishy-washy, that's nothing. And see, even light, even life is not enough that we know that's life. What type of life? There are people, they are full of the one type of life. So when you give them life, they will be take it only in the wrong part. You must differ this. And that is an art to have this and to feel that what is lacking, what is too much, how that is working together and so. Now, you see, you have two different types of which are compound in the life, in the light. Light extends everything, but it can be differentiated if you see that now. And now you can have the same when you look in our body. We will elaborate on all this in the next days. You have the formative forces and the growing forces. The formative forces coming from outside, the growing forces from inside. And you can see that when you have now the unit of an organism, the unit of an organism, and that is a cell. The cell is indeed the unit. Any plant has the smallest unit, the cell. The animal, the cell. Human being, you have cells. And you know you have two parts in the cell. You have the plasma and you have the nucleus. And we know that you can understand it, what we have. That's not nonsense, the facts which we have. Just a second. We have to understand it. What do they say? Which makes today, spoken in the most materialistic way, what makes the shape? That this is a man, a woman, black hair, and so on. What makes it? Of course, the genes. Of course, the genes. In this way, it's right. The genes. What are the genes? You have the separation we were speaking about. That, the one part, and this, the genes, they are existing, of course. They are bearer of these formative forces. That's another expression of that. It's a materialistic expression. The genes do this and that. They do nothing. They are bearer of forces. And now you see of which type. The formative forces. They belong to this part of the life which is on the ultraviolet end. And what makes the plasma? What is the plasma? That's other part. That has to do with just the life. And that is how that works. You can understand it. That is, the cell is nothing but is an expression of this, what I tried to see. That is, in shortest form, light. The two types of light you have in the cell. The formative forces and the growing forces. Nucleus and plasma.
Two questions. One is, I don't quite understand if the metabolic response to red, why you call that internal, as opposed to the nervous responding to
this I did elaborate before you stepped in.
Okay, well then I'll get it some other time.
Yeah.
Second question is, in his book, Blake Schmidt, The Origin of Life, he talks about how the cell is formed externally, internally. And that seems to lead me to believe that the DNA comes into action more after the cell is formed than participating in the forming of the cell.
We come back to this point. We are just preparing an understanding. We come back to this point exactly into the any details. But did you have a question?
You answered it.
Huh?
You answered it.
Look, that's many things answered later. We are just on the very first beginning. And that is what is lacking, is the base of understanding. What means this and what means that? And I tried to give you just some hints that you can understand what type of forces are working in the substance. So, we come back to the cells and to nucleus and plasma in different ways. You see that how it is works, and you can see the cell is indeed a unit. And I mentioned that because I touched the problem of the bacteria. What are bacteria? They are... No. No.
I have studied this from the beginning.
What is the difference between a cell and a bacterium? How can you know whether it's a cell or bacterium? Nucleus. What is with the nucleus? No nucleus. What did we elaborate? What is the plasma? Just this type growing, 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 growing. That's exactly what the bacteria. No shape, no form, no nucleus. You see how this is correlated. There's nothing to accept this. There is no organ to accept the formative forces. And so they grow and grow and grow and grow and never can make a shape. And that is why they are killed when you offer them these forces. They cannot accept them. It is the same, to quote, because some of you did attend the last conferences here, that's the same as if you offer a plant sodium. Plant cannot, sodium and potassium are on the same level, but the plant cannot accept the sodium, only can accept the potassium. And when you offer the plant the sodium, you kill it. The same here, when you offer the ultraviolet light to a bacterium which has no organ to accept it, that kills the life. It's absolutely the opposite. You see how that works. And that the bacteria like to live, what you see, live in the darkness. That's it. They like to live in the darkness. Because that is another region. The life is just another thing. The darkness, we say, just darkness is lacking of light. Ah, yeah, of course. But on the other hand, in former time, the people, darkness means something. That's a being, darkness. And light is a being, too. And that is opposite. And darkness, always the people felt in the darkness, that is just... not the right way. Why do we say that is a dark thing? What does it mean? That's a moral problem. What means moral? That is just not, that does not give shape to a thing. It's just going out and without shape. And that makes dangerous. And that is how that works. That is why they prefer the darkness. Because the light kills them. Why do we have the crimes in the darkness? That does not mean that the bacteria are full of amorality. That does not say that. But you see, we must see what is the being behind it. And that we have to see darkness is not only lacking of light. It is active in the same way as light. it is stimulating this type of growing of bacteria. That's a matter of what the people knew in former time. Tuberculosis has been healed by sunlight, and so when you apply it in the right way, of course. And another problem that you have, it may be you have not only not bacteria, but you have the same thing in a human organism. That there are cells growing and growing and growing and make no shape. Then we call this disease cancer. So, what's lacking? Light. But that does not say, let the cancer patient sit in the sun and they will be healed. It is a little bit more complicated. I warn you from such short circuits. But anyway, and you can find it as a chapter in my book, which is finally published in English. There's a chapter of the disturbances of the light metabolism. And one of these diseases, one of these diseases is cancer. One of them. Lacking of light. Of course, of eternal light. A certain light, you see, which type of light, of the light which has to do with the formative forces, not just the red sides of the spectrum. No, the formative forces, they are lacking. But again, don't allow them to sit in the sun. Why not? What is lacking? They cannot handle the light. That is lacking, because they are light enough. They cannot handle the light. They cannot bring in the right way to the formation. That is lacking. And that is in other diseases lacking too. So we can say there's a lot of trouble which we have as diseases when we cannot handle the light in the right way. And that is how that works for an understanding and how the formative forces are working. And that we need as a preparation just for understanding when we see an embryo working, that we see, we understand which forces are working this or that way. Excuse me, when shall we make the break? What is scheduled at 9:45?
Right,
look,
now.
Yeah, okay, then we can just make the break, yeah? So, we are just beginning with the problem of the life. And it is another step to see how the forces are working, and that is the light and the different types of life. Of light, which I tried to describe, that we can see how they are working in the organism. That means not only in the human being, just in the animals and the plants too. Now, but when you see that how these forces are working, or is it what we call just the etheric forces? Most of you are familiar with the expression of the etheric forces. How they can work. There you see there is a certain condition, and this condition is that you have a limit between the physical substance and the forces, and it belongs to the being of these forces that they are working on the surfaces. And that is the reason why you have everywhere where you meet pure life, you have a lot of surfaces. Look at the plant. What is a plant? Why can this tree live? Not because the stem, not the bark, not the wood. No, all this is not just the life itself. It is the leaves, and the leaves are just surfaces. You see, they are, that is an expression of the life forces. that they can work in this way, big surfaces, that makes a big connection between just the water, which is a bearer of the life, and these forces that they can enter it. And that is the reason why a plant, the being of a plant, is a leaf. Not the root, not the stem, not the blossom. The leaf is the bearer of a plant, or an expression of a typical plant. And that is the condition that the life, or the light, which is more or less the same as we saw, can enter the plant and work in the plant. And this is just the condition. And when you see all the grasses, or all the plants, they are full of surfaces. And sometimes they make special shapes that the surface is enlarged or it is diminished. And when you study that, it is fascinating. Most plants make an arrangement that they can enlarge the surface. That is what you see very often. And that is a condition that all the light formative forces can enter the plant. But now you will see, within the animals we have no surfaces. That's just in the plants. Yeah, when you see this, as I described it, what is just the being or the bearer of a unit? Any organism has as a bearer of the unit, as far as it is an organism, the cells. And why do we have cells at all in our body? It could be that it works without cells, or that the whole is just a unit. Why is it separated? You know, as the medical doctors say, know that there is one organ where you have not the separation between the cells, and that is just the heart. The heart is, spoken anatomically, a syncytium. That means that is many cells make a unit, only in the heart. But why do we have in the blood the cells? Why do we, any tissue has cells in itself? Why? Now, the answer for this is clear. What is a cell? That is a very small unit. And the shape of a cell is like a ball. And when you have this as a principle, the smaller a ball is, the smaller, the bigger the surface. And that is the reason why we need, in any organism, we need cells. Because the cells allow, by the big surface, that the etheric forces can work on it. And we will see how that works in the pathology and just in the embryology and so on. We will see that when you have big cells, they are always pathological. Where do you have extremely big cells, like in Morbus Hodgkin, some cases of tuberculosis, there you have the big cells and they are pathological. And what happens in them? The etheric forces, the formative forces, cannot enter them in the right way. And the smaller the cell, the more they are exposed to the, they can accept the forces, like the lymphocytes. Lymphocytes, wherever you have them, they are very just less as a concentration of etheric forces. Now, our topic is not hematology, but that is fascinating when you study that. That's just a hint how they are working the forces in the cells. And of course, the relation between nucleus and plasma and all this, you must look at it. When you study that, I only can give you a hint or a clue that, or a a key that you can understand what that means. So you see, in the plant we have surfaces. Plant, you have, or spoken in another, with that is a scheme, of course. You have two dimensions in the plant: surface, surface, surface. And that is an expression of the life. Now, when you see an animal, of course you have the same, because the animal is alive. But you have additional to this another type of formative forces. And that is all this we need for the embryology, otherwise you cannot understand it. We have another type of forces, of formative forces. Not just make a shape like in a plant. No, another type of shape. You have the leaves. You can have leaves like that. You can have leaves like that. And so on. All this you can have. So different type of leaves, but they are leaves with a certain shape, but they are leaves. Go to an animal and you find absolutely another type of shape. You have a specific type of shape which starts very early in the first beginning that you see. It is indeed a step, some new thing happens. And that is what you know about the first step of the embryology. We come back to this, but we have to have a look at it. When you see a plant, there is no inside in a plant, only surface. But when you have an animal, you have something inside. Or in other words, an animal is full of holes. And what happens? What is a hole? Of course, a hole is nothing. But by this hole, you see underneath the hole, there you have a cavity. And this cavity is decisive. That is typical for the animal. And how does the animal make the cavity? It makes the cavity by a process of a invagination. And that is in the embryology, you know this, you have the first cell. We will come to this very often. Isn't there a... Oh, excuse me. Yeah. You see, that is the cell, and that is divided in two, and then you have... has been observed in the Seeigel. Sea urchin. And the sea urchins had observed. This state, that is the morula, you know all of this. The morula, and then happens the decisive, the invagination, you have the gastrula. Gastrula translated means that is a small stomach. A small stomach. And so there, the decisive is, you see, there is something working from outside inside. From outside inside. You see, a force is working from outside. It's not coming from inside. Nothing pulls. Something press. And this entering means that it makes a cavity. And now you see the animals and you see they are full of such cavities. How are they made? By the process of invagination. So, there is an empty space inside. And that is the result of this invagination. Maybe you will say, look a plant and you have the same. You have maybe a... wheat or rye grass or something, any grass, and you open it and what can you see inside? Hollow. Absolutely, it's hollow inside. Now, where is the difference between the plant and the animal? They have the same, is it? Why is it not the same? Aha, look, that's it. There is no invagination. That happens the way, you remember what I quoted as Goethe, when you want to understand what it is, look how it is made, how it comes. And when you see in a plant that separates and there is no invagination, when you see that, or a bamboo, you have this, where you see a bamboo, this big, there is no opening where you see where something goes in. There's no opening. Between the different types or the separations, there is nothing which is connected. The air has no gate, there is no hole. And that makes it is made in a different way. The formative forces are completely different. It looks like the same, but it is not the same. And wherever you see in a plant such a hole or a hollow situation, you will not find that it is made by an invagination. The invagination is the decisive, that is the principle. And all the holes you have in an animal, they are correlated to the outer world. And in plants, that is not like that. So you see how it works. It is, you can see that it works from outside, not from inside. From outside something presses, and what presses are forces, not substances, of course. There are forces pressing out from outside inside. And now you have all the cavities as you know it, and we have the same in the human shape. We have it full of cavities. You have the brain, not the brain, the skull, and that is the Schädelhöhle, the skull, Schädelhöhle, the cavity of the brain, the cavity, the nose is a cavity, the mouth is a cavity, the esophagus, the stomach, or the intestine is a cavity. The heart is a cavity too, and the pericard too, and the lung is a cavity, and the thorax is a cavity, the abdomen, full of cavities. And all of them are in connection with the outer world, with the environment. And that makes a difference. So, all this, what does it mean? It's absolutely a different type of formative forces. Absolutely different. Has nothing to do with the formative, whether the leaves make this shape or that shape. That is another problem. The cavity. Or in other words, what we say, and I use just the expressions, these forces are absolutely different. That is the animality. These are the astralic forces which enter and make this cavity. These are the astralic forces, that's the animal, and they make the three dimensions. You see, in the animality you have indeed a body. The plant is just a surface. And even if you see this tree, of course, this tree has a shape, but it looks like that. It is just a compound of surfaces, and that makes the shape. It is not a shape like in an animal. Three dimensions you have just in animals. You know that, of course, when you take a microscope, you can see that the leaf is three-dimensional. That's clear. But you know, as a principle, that's another dimension, another being, another realm. The realm of the third dimension which you have just in the animals. And the formative forces which are coming in by this, they are working from outside, absolutely from outside, inside. So you have this problem that something comes inside. And whenever you have this problem, when you are confronted with such a process, with such an invagination, you know what it means. these are not etheric forces which are working. That's not life which is working with this. That is the animal forces that are the astral forces. You have the etheric forces, the astral forces here. That is an expression of the astral forces which are working in this way. They are absolutely different. You cannot compare it even with the other forces. And that is why we need this knowledge when we are seeing what happens just in embryology, or we see the whole shape, what is there, and what does it mean that it is like that. Especially in the human embryology, we'll see it tomorrow or afternoon or some next time, we will see that we can see when we are confronted with a certain formation, what it means, that we can see it as an expression of the forces which are working through the substance. So that is here, you can see that. And now, any invagination, impression of a force coming from outside the astralic forces. And they make, as you can see, there is something which must be overcome, which must be destroyed, which must be catabolized. So what you know, as far as you are familiar with this, we have here in the astral forces, we have catabolism, we have on the etheric side, we have anabolism. And that is another principle you can see wherever you have anything which is on the catabolic side, you know what that means. Catabol, anabol. You know what it means? That is an expression of this type of forces. And you can see they are absolutely different. That does not mean that anabolism means only growing. No. That is another type of specification, another type of working on the surface. But here, the catabolic processes, they are working, destroying, overcoming just the etheric forces, just this anabolic situation. Or, as you see it, and from another part, you can see it in this way, it's different how you do that, and you are full of, you can have, that's, we need to discuss to that. You can have here the plant and the animal. And you can see the difference as far as you open the eyes. You see the plant is green, the animal, the typical color of the animal, of the blood of the animal, is red. And you can have a lot of differentiation. Why is it green? What makes it green? The chlorophyll. And what makes it red? Hemoglobin. And what makes the chlorophyll? What is the decisive substance? Magnesium. And what's the decisive substance of hemoglobin? That's iron, and so on. And you have here the anabolism, and you have here the catabolism. And so you can have a lot of such differentiations. Or when you go into the details, you see what type of chemistry you have here. Then you find, how does it work? What makes the plant breathing? What makes the animal breathing? Just opposite. You have here, from the chemical point of view, all the, what makes the plant? Plant use CO2 and transforms from this carbohydrates. Then you can see what is it as a chemical process. What does the plant with its CO2? A reduction. That's here, reduction. And what makes the animal? Oxidation. That's it, oxidation. Oxidation. And so you can continue